Previously on Destroy the Files, it's podcast night, you know?
It is.
This only comes around every two or three days.
I feel woefully unprepared for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah.
Well, do you got a drink?
I do.
Oh, well then, I think you're as ready as you're going to be. And now... Hello, listener. Welcome to your second favorite podcast, right behind Ovipositalk with Kate and Brent. It's Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent. This is a podcast we should and often do delete shortly after recording, and where the only limit is your imagination, Kate.
I'm Kate, author, digital artist, person who wonders if deep frying a turkey is feasible.
And I'm Brent, story writer, podcaster, recently converted chlorophyll truther. If you are at work, a child at work, a pediatric heart surgeon who is working on a child, a talking frog who grants wishes, someone who hates fun, someone who owes me money, or my own dear sweet mother, it is not recommended that you listen to this highly informative, entertaining podcast. So, I've been great. Do you want to talk about the Halloween episode from?
Of course.
I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed that we're not going to release it.
It's a shame. Our costumes were awesome.
I gotta say, it was 2 hours of the funniest shit. We were both just dying, and like special guest. I guess we can't even say it because kind of a big star, Freddy Krueger.
He was hilarious. Who knew?
How many stories? Wow, what a journey. I was inspired and motivated at the end, and I couldn't even sleep.
Right.
But we agreed.
Gotta delete it. Right? All those secrets. We just couldn't let those out in the world.
For the best, you know? It's for the greater good. And instead of sponsors this week, I thought testimonials for some of the sponsors that we've already had. So here's the first one. Hi, Destroy the Files. I stumbled on your podcast while I was performing a bris, and before I shut it off, I heard an ad that changed my life. As it happens, I do have a weird foot, and my morbidly obese partner does have some fold sores, and we both need various creams applied regularly. We called Kenny the Fed that very evening, and now we are both greased from head to misshapen toe. Thanks, Destroy the Files, and super thanks to Kenny the Fed. And this testimonial comes from Grandma Gritty in Pittsburgh. So that's great that we're helping people find products to help them.
Kenny the Fed has signed on as our sponsor. We can get his message out to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lining up. I mean, he's gonna have to expand pretty soon. Kenny the Fed and Son. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. One of the things that I've been really digging into is the truth about chlorophyll.
People think
it's just this harmless thing that occurs in nature and helps plants, you know, do whatever.
Didn't it used to be a gum?
Well, people do take this chemical goulash into their system intentionally. You know, they'll like take like the tablets that have like the ground up chlorophyll or whatever, I don't know. So I got looking at it, and chlorophyll may make some people more likely to get a rash from the sun. Rash from the sun? Is that because of chlorophyll or because the fucking nanobots that power it are heat powered, and the longer you sit in the sun, the more they'll try to wriggle out to the warm sunlight. But you know what has chlorophyll in it? Cabbage.
Oh, right.
What comes from cabbage, Kate? Cabbage patch kids, right? Horrifying little demon babies with their tiny dead eyes that caused riots all over this great land back in the day, as you probably remember. Eventually, they made cabbage patch kids that could detect each other's presence, and they say things like, I think there's someone else to play with here. And they have entire conversations between them. If that's not the stuff of nightmares, I don't know what is. So the Garbage Pail Kids came along, and they tried to shed light on the horrific nature of the Cabbage Patch Kids. And we all owe them a debt of gratitude. Their warnings went largely unheeded, but
I don't know. Everyone who ever went to a 7-Eleven pretty much picked up a set of their cards. I think they let that info soak in.
Well, I mean, they just kind of, you know, we can ridicule it, but there should have been a full-on crusade to round up the Cabbage Patch Kids and put them in some sort of a, like a cask of Amontillado. Remember from six episodes ago. And we do owe the Garbage Pail Kids a debt of gratitude, but we could get into the abomination that is the Furskin Bears. Those are the line of teddy bears that the Cabbage Patch Kids had spawned. And they called them Furskins. Furskins. Doesn't sound like anything I know of, but they did this on purpose. And they workshopped it. And they're like, this is the name for our toys is Furskins. And they had names like Bubba Furskin and Dudley Furskin and Hank Spitball Furskin.
I completely went to high school with those guys.
Yeah.
Back in Texas. Yeah. They were on the ball team of some sort, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. The old sports ball. So there are corners of the internet where people expose the truth that these teddy bears are literally made from human foreskins. And that thought is too disturbing to think about. And I'm not even going to, like, I'm going to delete that part of the file. I might delete this whole podcast episode, but
just, we can't do it 2 weeks in a row.
But just think of all those kids snuggling their furskin bears, you know. Oh geez, snuggle up. What could it be made of? I could puke. But I won't.
Right. That makes good radio.
And then there's the whole pro cannibalism line called the Cabbage Patch Snack Time Kids. What the fuck? It's so much more disturbing than the foreskin bear. Well, how about this? Without chlorophyll, none of this is even possible. We could create a whole new podcast of its own and devote it to exposing the evil of chlorophyll. And quite honestly, I haven't ruled it out, Kate. It's time that people know the truth.
Chlorophyll is wrong. It's just not something that humans should mess with.
And people eat this shit on purpose.
Right?
You know what else eats chlorophyll on purpose is deer.
Do they?
Yeah, they'll eat a leaf.
And then they'll like go and poop in your porch or something.
Or run out in front of your car.
Right.
Saw a pretty close call.
My mom got hit one of those one time and it got all round up in the axle.
Was she driving a fucking 18-wheeler?
It was kind of high. Like one of those big trucks. My mom was badass.
Nice. If only they had truck nuts back then. So what's been on your mind?
Well, I have been keeping in touch with my neighbors through the next door. Are you familiar?
Yeah, you love next door.
I do. I love it. I love it so much because I like to know all about the people who live around me. It makes me feel safe and cozy. I learned recently that for several days, the police have been trying to find a guy who shows up on Ring cameras around the neighborhood with various types of AR-15s and various handguns. They have been flying the helicopters looking for him. There's a part of where I live, we're right up against the Angeles Crest Forest, so it's a wilderness. See, what I think he's doing, he's out there hunting for protected species, but people are quite up in arms and afraid that they're all going to die because this guy is running around. But anyways, we have a report from Sloan, and it says, armed prowler is near Sunland Boulevard and the 210 freeway. Police helicopters have been searching for 40 minutes. Police are on foot searching the hillside. News says Sunland Boulevard is closed. And then there's much, like 56, 60, maybe 100 posts of discussion about this and the danger. And then Jill says, go track him, Joseph. Joseph replies, not my job. And then moments later, like maybe 30 minutes later, another Joseph replies, pay me then, Jill. I get paid $47 an hour at work. So if you can afford to pay me to track him, I will. Can you afford to pay me $47 an hour, Jill? I'm waiting for her response. So I've been checking like every couple of hours. Nothing yet.
Stoke the fire. Get on there and just yeah, Jill.
Right.
What's it going to be, Jill?
Then next up, we have a message from Roy. And he says, I know some folks don't want to see posts about seeing coyotes, so I'd like to report that I haven't seen one. I'll report again when I haven't seen another one. Hey, Roy and the dad jokes. And then from Gabe. Gabe would like us to know that the dog on Hillhaven is putting on a free concert. This evening, he's putting on an especially virtuoso performance, as expected. And then Reese replies, we've named that dog Tree because it's all bark.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah. Well, next up, this is the best one yet. All right. October 24th. Heather asks, can I legally own a rooster in Sunland, Tahunga? After much discussion, it turns out the answer is yes, with the warning that her neighbors won't be happy. And then November 5th, which is like about 2 weeks later, John asks, has anyone lost a rooster in the area? If so, it's on top of my wife's car. Please come get him, LOL. Hope it's the year of the rooster so we can get some luck. If no one claims it, Thanksgiving is right around the corner, LOL. Smiley face crying. And Joel's reply to this is hashtag nice cock. I want to meet these people. So on November 10th, Kevin, so we were at November 5th, when John, now we're at 5 days later. Kevin posts two pictures of a rooster and asks, anyone lose a chicken? Near Dunsmore Elementary. And Joel replies, hashtag nice cock. Oh, my neighbors, right? Am I right? And that's it from Sunland, Tahunga.
I gotta know. I don't know much about this app. Now, you have to like verify that you're a real person and that's where you live.
Yeah, it's not all that hard to do. I mean, you just sign in and with your address and stuff.
You can't like use a fake name and.
Well, like, I suppose you could.
Spicy ham bone or something. Who the hell is this asshole? Goes on commenting nice cock every time somebody looks at a chicken.
Yeah. I have never. Well, I met one neighbor and I didn't like him, so I quit.
Yeah. Same.
These folks sound like they're fun. Got roosters and shit. Maybe it's not the same rooster.
Maybe it's the same people though. They lost their first one. They had to go get another one. There's probably a bunch of them running around.
Right. There's not a lot of roosters around here because I used to live in Puerto Rico many years ago when there were a lot of roosters.
Sure.
What a fucking pain in the ass those birds are. They don't know when it's sun up. 4 a.m. is not sun up, rooster motherfucker.
When I went to South Africa, I got to this one village. We got in kind of late. It was very difficult to sleep. There was a lot going on. I needed to use the restroom very early in the morning, but it was an outhouse. So I had to creep through the house and creep across. It's starting to get light out. And I'm just trying not to wake anybody up because I kind of feel like an outsider in this village. And rooster comes and just like the door doesn't shut all the way. And it just gets up close enough where I couldn't like swing the door out and hit him. I think he knew the distance. And he was like, burr. He just like starts like kind of clucking at me. I'm like, no, hey, shh, come on now. We don't have to. Because I wasn't feeling very good. He's like, kind of takes a deep breath and puts his head back and just puts on a fucking show. Like, man. Well,
roosters are assholes.
Gonna be one of those days. I miss it. I would go back there.
Did you?
Had a really good time. It's beautiful there.
I think I'd go back to Puerto Rico too if I had a chance. It's pretty nice. It is 90 degrees all the time, all year round, and 90% humidity. But, you know, once you drink a few rum drinks, who the fuck cares, right?
Well, that wasn't really my experience in South Africa. There wasn't a ton of drinking to be had out in the villages. They had there's some beer that could be got. One of the places that had it, they were bottling it in these paper cartons, like milk. Like some of the guys went over and got a couple of these things and brought them back to the group, and I'm like, we're gonna pass this around, huh? This is what we're doing. Okay, all right.
How tasty does that?
I think there's a palate that would enjoy that. It wasn't me. I'm more of an IPA guy. The free roaming chickens and goats in the villages, that was fun. Like, doesn't anybody mess with them? No, they belong to the chief. Like, oh. Can I go over and pet it? Yeah, well, if it'll let you get close, it's probably just going to headbutt you. I'll get you, goat. So we have another testimonial here.
Let's hear it.
I'm a DTF listener from way back. Ever since that very first episode, I have spent nearly every Friday night partying my face off at Club Baby Seals. Who would have thought that a Baby Seal-themed nightclub would be so amazing? I've become such a fan of that place, I'm basically a walking advertisement. If you see me on the street, chances are I'm wearing one of my many Club Baby Seals t-shirts. I got a Club Baby Seals wrap for my Jeep. I even have Club Baby Seals covers for my golf clubs. Club Baby Seals for life. And that's from a testipositor named Jackson on the Lower East Side. So thank you, Jackson, for that nice contribution.
We're going to have to get those Club Baby Seals t-shirts up and ready for Christmas, because I truly do want one.
Okay, well, I'll talk to my my designer.
Yeah?
It's me.
I knew that.
Yeah, I definitely don't have much going on, so I could probably just bang that out real quick in my free time, but God damn it, I should. Then the good folks down at Club Baby Seals have really been longtime supporters of this project, so
you know, we can show them some love. We've got to show maybe onesies, like adult onesies with Club Baby Seals.
I'm listening.
I want one.
You know, people keep asking me, Kate, Brent, how do you and Kate prepare for the podcast? And honestly, a lot of times I do get the impression that more often than not, they're trying to milk me for information on like what not to do. And like whatever, you know, I tell them they're going to do the opposite, and I can't fault them for that, but I would be more than happy to share my methods. But first, Kate, I want to hear what do you do to prepare for the podcast?
Well, normally I will go and walk around Flatworm Lake 3 or 4 times and just think all my, pinky thoughts. And
do you submerge yourself to get flatworms?
Nope, not. I've decided against actually going in the water out there. When I'm out there, I'll think of what kind of, I don't know, it could be any sort of thing, like what sort of science thing am I interested in today, or what kind of rich asshole has pissed me off, or what do I want to know more about? And then I will go home and I will pull up the Wikipedia and copy from it. I do.
Sure.
How about you, Brent?
Well, the whole process begins the minute after the previous episode has been either posted or deleted. All of a sudden, now I'm looking at a blank page, and will I draw inappropriate things on the page? Centaurs get nasty with a narwhal. I've never done it, but I mean, like, is that what's about to happen?
I'd watch that.
Yeah, of course
you
would.
I'd pay a few bucks for it.
Yeah. Or will I just jot down notes on the page? Well, how about both, Buttercup? Because I immediately go into a receptive state, and that's where I just like weep softly as I eat like just an unhealthy amount of cheese, and then I lapse into what I call the cheddar sleep for about 6 hours.
Your heritage, yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't always have to be cheddar. That's just the name for it. I can't call, you know, keep changing the name to the provolone sleep or, you know, whatever's next. But yeah, I call it the cheddar sleep. And about 6 hours later, I wake up. That blank page is absolutely filled with notes. So next, I begin the process of deciphering the notes. And to be honest, most of them are gibberish. Once in a while, I can make sense of something. Like that word could be cowboy, or maybe it just says revenge over and over and over in handwriting that looks like nothing like mine. And that's like, that was like what happened 4 episodes ago. So then I usually have a few topics lined up to discuss. And as I start to do some light internetting, my thoughts always drift, as you know, to hunchbacks. So, and do you know, I mean, I'm saying this to you, but you did, because you do know this, because I've gone on and on about hunchbacks many times, you know, as long as you've known me. But did you know, one listener, that the scientific term for the hunchback condition is kyphosis?
Who knew?
I guess science did.
Oh,
and of course, Kate, you know, you know about my 3 favorite historical hunchbacks. There's Louis VIII of Bavaria, a Bavarian duke who went by the name Louis the Hunchback. And then there's Pepin le Bossu, a son of Charlemagne, an actual son of Charlemagne, who betrayed his own father and was known far and wide as Pepin the Hunchback. I suppose in French it would be Le Hunchback, but anyway.
I think maybe Charlemagne deserved that, from what I recall of history.
Yes. Yeah, we can talk about him on maybe next week.
Yeah.
Who knows if we'll post it, though. You can't talk about hunchbacks without mentioning Benjamin Lay. He was an abolitionist before it was cool, and once he kidnapped a child of slave owners so they could see how African families felt when their loved ones were taken. He lived his later years as a hermit in a cave, which...
It's a dream of mine.
Yeah. Good for you, Benjamin. You made it. Just him and his goats and 200 some books. Right?
And living the dream.
And of course, my favorite historical hunchback, as everybody knows, is the USS Hunchback, which was a civilian ferry in New York until 1861, when the U.S. Army bought it.
Wait, converted it. Ferries?
No, not the fluttery ones that die if you don't clap for them.
Oh, yeah,
like gosh. That you get on it and it takes you from one side of the harbor to the other.
Okay, sorry.
In like a 3-hour boat ride.
I like the story better with like the fluttery.
Yeah.
Story.
Hard to convert them into a gunship though. So in 1861, when the U.S. Army bought it, converted it to a gunship, and used it to stomp Confederate ass up and down the southern coast. So these dirty ass Confederates got the fury of the hunchback up and down. And somewhere around this time, I realized in my process that I've gone down the hunchback rabbit hole yet again. So I try to refocus my attention on podcast preparation by taking a break. And then I just torch a doobie the size of a Taco Bell big beef burrito and watch DuckTales until things settle back down. And then it's podcast day. Time to record. I hit record with no assistance from my useless fucking assistant Gunther. And you know who is the real dumb one? It is Brent. He sucks. Gunther totally rules. And then we have a nice podcast to listen to. From there, I usually hit the delete button, but once in a while, we'll upload that to the internet. So that's the whole process. I wish it was more organic, you know?
So I have a question for you. Would we have to be vampires to get a Guillermo?
I don't know.
I'd like one.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
He does pretty good. I got to tell you, I was very surprised, the whole Colin Robinson situation. Oh, I was like, what? And then I was like, what?
No spoilers. Not everybody knows.
What? But yeah, I worry about falling into a formula trap with the podcast prep process. And
could happen.
But that reminds me of, you ever heard of a Bangladeshi formula trap?
No.
Remember ovipositor? So it's, well, a Bangladeshi formula trap is when you have two ovipositors and you have a quart of tapioca pudding in a rat trap. Stop. One puts a baby bonnet and smears.
No.
I didn't even get to the nipples.
No.
Fine. Done. So anyways, I guess at this point, we're right back to the beginning. Uploaded or deleted, and staring at a blank page, and it's time to get into some cheese. So that's kind of lather, rinse, repeat. You see what I mean? It's like, is it formulaic? I don't know.
It's a really hard job, but we have to do it.
Yeah.
Because nobody else is going to destroy these files if we don't do it.
Yeah. In the ranking of hard jobs, there's like African diamond miner, Trump's fold scrubber, / loofahmeister, Sieg Heil! And then the third hardest would be doing this podcast.
That is your job, to make me laugh like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. At least once an episode. But I didn't spit through, well, maybe a little.
You are bleeding a little bit from your nose. Is that from the laughing or the cocaine?
I'll never tell. So, Brent, would you like to play a game?
I, except the last time somebody asked me that, it was a little doll with a creepy mask on a tricycle. And like, now I have these weird scars on my butt. But yeah, I'm up for it, whatever.
So, did you ever play tennis?
Not a ton.
No. I think also basketball works this way, but you'll have to catch me up. So in tennis, people are seated, and then those seated people play each other, and the winner plays the winner of the other seated people. Hmm. Right. So what we have here is a game called the Battle of the Rich Assholes.
Okay.
We're going to pit one rich asshole against another, and we're going to have two rounds. The winner of the first round is then going to be pitted against the winner of the second round. Sure. And then you're the deciding factor. So
okay,
you,
so I'm the ref. Like at this is run, you're running this just like a jujitsu tournament. So it's like call your weight class and your belt level, and you get down to the edge of the mat, and then you go out and you settle it right there. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, you're going to know who won that. Not like a wrestling tournament where it's like, oh, you know, rounds during the day. Boom, all at once. Love it. Go.
Okay. So first up, we have Hetty Green. Hetty Green was known as the Witch of Wall Street. She hated to spend money. She wore clothes until they rotted off her body. And imagine the scent of her, because she didn't wash a lot either. So she started out her life as a young 20-something when she inherited $7 million. Over her lifespan, she managed to turn that into $200 million by her death in 1916. Just for comparison, that really rich guy at the beginning, like Carnegie, only had 80 million. She had like over 200 million. We don't hear about her for some reason though, because I guess she has a vagina. But making money isn't what makes her an asshole. She had two dirty kids that looked like Dickensian orphans. She sent the kids to school in old rags, because she was really rich and she could do whatever the hell she wanted. When the weather turned cold, and she lived in Philadelphia, so it got pretty cold. But when the weather turned cold, she stuffed her kids' clothes with wadded up newspaper so she wouldn't have to spend any money on coats. Nice mom, right? But it gets worse. So her son, Ned, hurt his knee in a sledding accident. And Hetty didn't want to pay for medical treatment. So she forced him to live with that injury for many years until his leg, years.
I'm starting to not like this lady.
Until his leg turned gangrenous and had to be amputated.
Did she let him amputate it?
Yeah.
Well, she's not all bad.
Right. I don't think she probably paid for the crutches though, or a wheelchair, because fucking expensive. We don't pay for that stuff. So that's her.
Well, Hedy. You lucky for her, you can take it with you. So, yeah.
So Hedy Green, number one. Number two, we have Martin Luther, who just Martin Luther, not he's not the good one. So he was head of the Protestant Reformation. So he's pretty famous. He was not a big fan of Catholicism, it turns out, since he created that whole...
Was it because of the pedos or other stuff that he did? No. Other differences?
Differences. He thought, the whole Protestant thing that made America great again. But not only did he not like Catholicism, he had an even bigger issue with Judaism. So in 1543, he published a book. We're just going to call it Why Jews Are Bad, so I don't have to say the actual title. He told good Christians that they were supposed to destroy Jews' lives so that they would convert. Some of the things that he advocated in this book were burning down synagogues. Here's a quote. Bury and cover with dirt whatever will not burn, so that no man will ever again see a stone or cinder of them. Nice guy, right?
No, opposite, Kate, opposite.
Opposite. So he also said to burn down Jewish houses and then ban them from traveling on highways for various reasons. We're not going to go into here because they're really anti-Semitic. So Martin Luther really started a lot of problems that have really carried forward for many, many, many years. So Brent, who's it going to be? Hedy Green, Martin Luther, who's the worst?
Oh, Martin Luther's the worst.
All right, round one, Martin Luther. Although Hedy was pretty horrible.
Yeah, oh yeah, she kind of kept her horribleness much, much closer to home. Doesn't sound like she was like writing books or nailing things to doors.
Yeah, I have to agree. All right, good choice. All right, round two, we have Andrew Carnegie and his pal, Henry Clay Frick. You've heard of Andrew Carnegie, probably. I have. He was I'm not so familiar.
Invented
with
the Prince Albert piercing.
Did he? I didn't know that.
Look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to do that as soon as we're done here, as soon as we're done burning these files. Yep. But Henry Clay Frick was his good buddy. And they like to hang out together and have a good time. So they created the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club, which
doesn't sound so bad.
No,
sounds kinda nice.
It was a lodge for the super rich, and it was near Lake Conemaugh in Pennsylvania. When they were setting up this club, all fancy, they also bought all the land around it and the lake. And with that lake came a dam, the South Fork Dam. And because they were really, really rich, they put a net over the dam to keep all the fish in for themselves. But it turns out that this net caught all kinds of debris and other things that are in lakes and rivers. In May of 1889, a big storm comes along and the lake fills up and the dam breaks and the flood destroys the whole town of Johnston, and it washed away the trains and destroyed 1,600 houses and sucked more than 2,000 people into the vortex. So people around the country were pretty mad about this and started talking about how the rich are pretty bad and selfish. And, you know, that was the time when the labor unions were getting up in arms and everybody was mad about rich folks walking all over everybody, you know, kind of like now. But Carnegie decided that he better do something, and fast. So he gathered up all the members of his club, and they donated 1,000 blankets to the relief effort.
God.
What a guy, right? Turns out nobody was all that impressed with that. So the next year, like, the town is still devastated.
Throwing them paper towel?
No, he gave them $10,000.
$10,000.
Thought that probably made things all right. So that was Andrew Carnegie. He's a lovely fella. Of course, you know, he maybe did a few good things.
I mean, he hired people and told them, hey, make me look like not such a piece of shit. Do something that you put good that you can put my name on.
Yeah, I think that was kind of what it is. So next up in this round, in this matchup, we have Aristotle. He was a Greek fella. He wrote some books. You might have heard of some of them.
He wrote Plato's Symposium, yeah.
Yeah. He had some pretty interesting ideas. He also had some really out there ideas about
women. Or anti-Semitism.
No, this one is about women. So Aristotle thought women were barely human beings. At best, this one's a quote, he thought they were deformed men. Because, you know, they were missing that part that men have. For some reason, he decided that women had fewer teeth than men, which made them incomplete. Turns out women have the same number of teeth as men.
Cite your sources.
You just got to open up your mouth and, like, count the damn things.
Oh, so science? Okay, I knew you were going to play that card.
And he was saying that, yeah, women give birth, but they contribute only matter and not form to the generation of offspring. Like, they're the cup and the men are the wine. And of course, only male children really needed good care because, quote, women are inferior beings. At least he said perhaps, and that perhaps women are inferior beings.
Well, so, but he would have said that in ancient Greek. So, I mean, you couldn't really know what kind of sarcasm he was laying on that weird Greek word.
Perhaps women were inferior beings. But Aristotle, I think he had some issues. I think maybe, you know what? Like, his nanny might have smacked him really hard or something when he was little. So that's round two. We have Andrew Carnegie and his, we'll just say Andrew Carnegie or Aristotle.
Oh, well,
here's the bigger asshole.
I'm going to say that I'm going to go with Carnegie, and here's why. Because while Aristotle certainly would have influenced generations Greeks, his influence has waned, whereas Carnegie's influence is still relatively fresh and helped bring about the resurgence of the robber barons that we're seeing. So I think and they didn't have nukes back then, so, you know, you could like have somebody that came out of Carnegie's mold ascend to the presidency. Now they're controlling nukes, and they're all fucked up and weird from having too much money.
Scary. Yeah. So now we're down to the finals.
Yeah.
We've got Andrew Carnegie, who destroyed a town and gave them 1,000 blankets. And then we have Martin Luther, who caused all kinds of trouble for Jews. Who's the worst? Maybe if I put it that way, it makes it clear.
Well, I mean, even by the terms that I just, like, the ongoing influence, you got to go with Martin Luther here, because he started
all that shit.
Yeah, these are movements that are still running strong. Their influence has not waned, but is in fact spread further since his time. Yeah, I'll go with Martin Luther.
All right, Martin Luther, king of the rich assholes.
What does he win?
Our undying contempt.
Well, if he turns out to be a vampire, we'll put somebody over there watching.
Well, thank you for playing, Brent. That was a lot of fun.
My pleasure. I got another testimonial here.
All right.
Thanks, Kate and Brent. After my grandparents died in a tragic double suicide, the house came down to us kids. Sure enough, the place needed a new roof, a new septic system, and a new well. We called for estimates on the roof and the septic, but the well was a no-brainer. We called Bottomless Well Drilling, who sponsored a segment of your Fun with Lightning episode. As promised, they drilled a well so deep, I get dizzy thinking about it. Also, as promised, the technicians did not wear pants or underwear at any point in the project. Thanks, Bottomless Well Drilling, and thanks, Destroy the Files. That's 5 stars from Cynthia. Yeah, hooray.
Yeah, I'm glad we could help.
But I came across something else recently that freaked me right out, Kadams. You remember a couple weeks ago when I sat down with our pal Eddie Generous?
I do remember.
We talked about his new book, Hetty, and we talked about the legendary Swankmaster D.
Yes, yes.
And Eddie's got some great stories. I like talking to him. His cat with the petrified kitten inside, who was named Marshall after the Paw Patrol character. That cracked me up because I was just ranting at you about one of my many Paw Patrol conspiracy theories about that very same character. And he talked about the giant slugs that crawl around his town. Amazing. You know, I have a fondness for slugs, little weird alien looking buddies. And so I thought I'd toss a gentle Googling at the slugs. You know what I found?
What?
I'm going to read the description right out of animaldiversity.org about the banana slug the Pacific Northwest.
Oh my God.
The banana slug is the second largest slug. It can grow to nearly 10 inches. The majority of banana slugs can easily be identified by their resemblance to a banana. They have yellow bodies with brown spots. Some banana slugs can be found with green, brown, or white bodies. The color of banana slugs can change accordingly with their diet and the amount of moisture in their environment. The bodies of banana slugs have a muscular foot for locomotion. Hang in there, Kate. This is about to get fucked up. Banana slugs.
Muscular foot.
Yeah, that's just their bodies. It's their belly that they just crawl around. And banana slugs have lungs that open to the outside through a pneumostome for respiration located on the right side of their mantle. They have two pairs of tentacles. The larger of the two pairs of tentacles are used to sense the brightness of light. The second pair are used to sense smells. The banana slug is able to retract both pairs of tentacles to protect them from the surrounding environment. They're covered with a slime that serves many purposes. They also possess a mantle and hump on their back.
Oh my.
A hump on their back. They're fucking hunchback slugs. And they're crawling all over Eddie's town. And I almost couldn't get past that. But then I took some time to reflect in my neighbor's pleasure tent. And some questions arose. Some new ones. Will the slugs eat Eddie's cats? Well, it sounds like no, they won't, because banana slugs are herbivores, as it turns out. So what do they eat? Legend has it they prefer mushrooms, which, fun, but they'll also eat animal droppings, dead plant material, live plant material, and something else that I'll get to in just a moment. They're considered a nuisance because they come around and straight up wreck your garden. I'm going to cut right to the chase here. It's fucking chlorophyll. Kate, right? As far as I can tell, That's bath salts to them, because his butt get messed up, even more messed up. Chlorophyll is their bath salts, and the Pacific Northwest is their Florida. And I say that because during reproduction, the male gnaws off his own wang before disengaging.
Oh my.
So.
If only all guys could do that.
Yeah, you gotta get the bottom two ribs removed. People think it's just one, but it's two. So to sum up, the town where our good friend Eddie lives is crawling with great big banana slugs who get all spun up on shrooms and chlorophyll, getting so buck nasty that the dude chews his own dick off at the end. And that's where I stop, Kate, because if it turns out, and they're hunchbacks, and if it turns out that the female is equipped with some kind of weird ovipositor appendage, I don't even want to know and would not report it if I did find that out, because that's, I'm sorry. Too far.
It's too far. Definitely too far. Although,
hunchback slugs getting jacked up on chlorophyll. If it turns out they also hate Confederates, I will explode.
So my most frightening slug story is when my daughter was four, somewhere in there. She had a fascination with these because she would like to go out in the yard and play around in the grass and pick them all up. The kid loved bugs her whole life. Lizards, bugs, anything crawly on the ground, she would pick that up, and you'd have to stop her because she put it in her mouth. One time I was sitting out on my porch enjoying a glass of wine in the evening, reach into my purse for, I suppose, God knows what for, but I stuck my hand into something kind of cool and slippery.
Love it.
Look in there. She had put all the slugs into my bag, every single slug, and I had just put my hand right in the whole mess of slug goo, and they weren't all dead. No, they weren't. Can you yell at a four-year-old? Yes. Can you beat a four-year-old to death? No, you cannot beat it. You should not even think about that. But you can yell. And you can say swear words that they should not have learned by that age.
I'm pretty sure Anthony Fauci said you can shake them really, really hard.
Really, never, ever. Put your hand into a mass of slugs in the bottom of your purse. There is no surprise like that on Earth.
Hmm. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. My son likes to catch the bugs in like a crater keeper or a jar or something, and then name them Poe, which I always like, you know, sweet. I love the Pit and the Pendulum and the Cask of Amontillado and some, you know, bunch of other ones, and that's really cool. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's Star Wars. Fuck. No, it's not. You shut up.
You can't argue with him.
No, he's getting too damn smart.
Yeah.
So we are considering a lobotomy, but again, that's like...
I have a Wikipedia page that tells you just exactly how to do that.
I don't have the equipment, so we'll do the van that comes through. But the thing is, it's $325 out of the van. That's the cheapest around. Like, I don't want to fuck it up, because I'd fuck it up. Like, gotta go to at least the van. More of a converted ice cream truck, but it still has the music. It's hilarious.
What song?
Just the tinkly, ding, 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 ding. I don't know.
The turkey in the straw one? The racist one?
I don't have a guess. Oh. It's very off key. It's hard to tell. Like, this speed kind of slows down and goes back up, and it's weird.
Why is ice cream so creepy? I have never understood that. But every time. There is never a time that music is not creepy.
You know when what I do when I go to the ice cream truck? I tape the money to a ninja star, a razor sharp fucking ninja star. And I like throw like three of them right. He gives me the ice cream, and I turn around and whip those ninja stars through the window.
Good for you.
now. They're getting quick. I can't even hardly hit these guys anymore. You used to be able to like just throw one and you duck it, and then you could get them with the second one. But now they really got their head on a swivel these days. Before we go, I would like to remind our one listener to support independent publishers and authors. That's right, buy their books, leave reviews, and what the hell, you can even read them if you want. Thanks for listening to another amazing and informative episode of Destroy the Files. Certainly has been a hunchtastic voyage into the imagination.
Good evening. Thank you for coming.
And I'm your other host, Brent. And now is the time on the podcast when we say...
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Yes.
All I really want is a platform, really, to...
Talk bullshit for no reason.
Talk bullshit for no reason and say weird shit, but to talk about...
Probably just a really long one. We can cut it up into parts.
That would be something.
Just play loud music. Say something like, I think we should shut her down.